Good evening and welcome back to In the Corner. We are here with episode 19. This is going to be a big episode. I am so excited to do this podcast today, y'all. We had a crazy last 24 hours, I guess you could say, really all week. It's just been nuts. Unless you've been living under a rock, you know that what at least was going to be the best boxing card of all time. It's still maybe, I'm not sure, but the last crescendo, 7 world title fights, at least title implications on the line. From Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, headlined by Artur Beterbiev, Dmitry Bivol, too. You know, heading into this fight week, we had the perfect card, no pullouts, no nothing. And then right when we get here, 2 of the fights have changed. In fact, both with illnesses. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about last night, Dana White announcing his the plans for UFC 314 and 315. Some very, very surprising tidbits there. Ilia Topuria has officially vacated the UFC 145 championship. He's moving up. Shavkat's injured, so he will not be fighting Bilal next. Instead, it'll be JDM. We're going to get Volk versus Lopez at 314. Just a ton of crazy news. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the other fights going on this weekend, some other news that's been going on. And then usually we do this at the first half of the video of the podcast. Today we're going to do the back half. We're going to do an extensive breakdown on the big fight card this weekend. All 7 fights, we're going to do in-depth like analysis of how I think it's going to go, and then I'm going to give you my prediction. So without further ado, let's just hop right into it. So the big news, of course, it's been going on fight week, is the Shakur Stevenson, Floyd Schofield, Josh Padley situation now, and then Daniel Dubois, Joseph Parker, Martin Bacoli. So we'll talk about Shakur first. So last episode we talked about Floyd Schofield being out of the picture. You know, he fell ill and is out of the fight. We knew that last episode. That was Tuesday evening. Wednesday morning we wake up and we hear Josh Padley has stepped in. He did a check weight in the UK on Wednesday. So he's going to make 135 on 4 days notice, which is crazy. And he flew down to Saudi on Wednesday. Thursday press conference, he was here facing off with Shakur. I mean, I can't believe that we're getting Shakur Stevenson versus Josh Padley. That has to be one of the most just out-of-nowhere fights ever. It makes no sense, but, you know, they had 4 days. Were there other guys they could have gotten? Maybe, but to get somebody who's going to drop down to 135 on 4 days' notice and make the trip out to Saudi, it's going to be kind of hard. So, you know, I think that they got a decent opponent with Josh Padley. I'm not mad at it. Does he pose any threat to Shakur? No, he will not win a single round. I think that if Shakur didn't have his hands, you know, kind of injured, I think Shakur may stop him. We'll see. Maybe he still will. You know, I think Josh Padley's okay. He's just not world level in the slightest. But you know what? He punched his ticket with a big win over Mark Chamberlain. Apparently, it was His Excellency himself who chose Padley and said, let's get him. We know that Jadier Herrera was in potential, but he has a very high ceiling, I think. Definitely higher than Padley. Or the other guy, I think his name is Musa Gollum. And, you know, I think that Jadier Herrera will fight for world title one day. At least from how he looks right now when he's, what, 14-0, something like that. You know, so I don't think it's a good idea to move his career that fast. And just because he can doesn't mean he should, you know, develop him more, because he's a very good fighter. Josh Padley probably won't get this opportunity later in his career, so why not? So, you know, I'm not mad at that. But mainly because Shakur Schofield was a mismatch anyways. Schofield definitely had a better chance than Padley does. But we still knew that Shakur was going to just dance around him. And that's going to be even more so the case here. But it's whatever. What happened today, which is even crazier, is Daniel Dubois fell ill today. And what was really odd is that, first of all, we heard about this before it happened. Usually, when we hear that someone's fallen ill, it's just straight up, we hear about it because the fight has been canceled or postponed or whatever. In this case, canceled. You know, today we hear about it while he's being evaluated by doctors to see if he's still able to fight. And when I see this, I'm like, okay, he's not fighting. They're literally saying, yeah, we're looking at replacements. We're looking at Adelaide, Aliyev, and Akoli, all of which were like, okay. Like, Akoli wasn't awful. You know, I think Akoli's probably a top 15 heavyweight maybe, but he's already got another fight going. Doesn't really make a lot of sense, I thought, you know, and it wouldn't be a very exciting fight. So I was kind of worried about what was going to happen. Everyone was throwing their name out. Fabio Wardley threw his name out. People were saying, what if they do Moses Atama? People were honestly saying, what if they do Anthony Joshua? You know, I mean, he's in Saudi. Why not? Comeback fight, which would be an awful idea. It just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I mean, everyone was being thrown out. One of the people that were most vocal, of course, was Martin Piccoli. So we find out Daniel Dubois is officially out of the fight, you know, which is expected and is heartbreaking. Because that was probably, do I think that would have been the best fight? Potentially, I think it could have a crazy ending. But that was probably the fight I was most just kind of looking forward to and most excited about, because it's the heavyweight division. Like, all the heavyweight big fights are so exciting, you know. And this is the biggest fight on the card outside of Beterbiev Bivol, and you can even argue it. But Beterbiev and Bivol, we've already seen it before. So my interest level for Dubois Parker was honestly a little bit higher. So I was like, oh, you know, this sucks. We won't get to see a world title fight anymore. And then they bring in Martin Piccoli. I still cannot believe that this is what they did. Like, they had all these people they could have chose. Like, look at what they did with Josh Padley. They chose what? Number, I don't even know where he'd be ranked in all the world lightweights. Like, number 60, probably lower than that, or higher than that. I don't know. Martin Piccoli, for me, is number 4. So we were going to get number 2 versus number 3 in the heavyweight division. Instead, we're getting number 3 versus number 4. Absolutely zero complaints. I can't believe that they brought in the next best guy. He's fighting Efe Ajogba in May. Apparently, that may still be happening. But this guy, we know he's one big-ass dude. So we're going to see if he's able to hold the conditioning. I mean, I'm thinking he's in camp already for Ajogba, but I don't know how far into camp he is, you know. I don't know how far he's going to be able to last in the fight, but I saw Adeola Depot tweet, this is going to be a four-round war, and it will. And I don't know if it'll go past that, because Piccoli, you do not want to firefight with him, but you may have to, just to defend yourself. And I don't even know. Like, I can't believe this fight's happening. The only thing that worries me is Piccoli's coming in on 2 days' notice. Is he going to be good? I mean, he's still in the Congo right now. He's got to get to Saudi tomorrow for the weigh-in. I mean, it's a heavyweight, so he doesn't have to make weight or anything, but it's still just nuts. You know, and I mean, I can't believe, I'm so, so happy. I am so impressed by His Excellency and the whole team that they were able to get this done so fast. I mean, it's nuts. It really is nuts. And this is just like such, this is probably the best replacement fight I've ever seen. 2 days' notice. Any other boxing card, this fight doesn't happen anymore. Joseph Parker isn't fighting on Saturday. But this is Saudi. No, we want to fight. Let's bring in the next guy, whatever it takes. I mean, oh my goodness. The dancing video is hilarious. I don't know if Piccoli just posted that because, you know, or like just took that video, or if that's from a while ago, because, you know, if he did take that video, quit dancing and get your ass to the airport. But, man, I'm so excited. He is the boogeyman of the division. He is that guy. He is saying, I will come and I will fight. I don't care what it takes. I'll be there. I have the opportunity. I'm going to take it. It's hard for him to get a world title opportunity. You know, nobody wants to fight him. Joseph Parker is one of those guys that he'll fight anyone. And I feel bad for him because he was finally getting his world title shot against Daniel Dubois. He's been waiting for a while. He gets against Dubois. Now it's gone. But winner of this fight may get Usyk. Or they'll just go straight into Usyk-Dubois too, which I would think is a little bit cheap of Dubois if we find out he was sick because he realized that if he loses to Parker, he loses the Usyk rematch. So maybe he's like, well, if I don't fight, I can still get the Usyk fight. Which, if so, I hope that's not the case. I think that, honestly, I really want to see Usyk-Dubois too. And I want to see the division unify. But it's going to be hard, especially if there's a really good contender comes out of Saturday's fight, you know, to see this. I saw somebody say that if Parker wins, he should fight Usyk. And if Piccoli wins, he should fight Dubois. And I love both of those options. You know, I mean, this is going to be awesome. I don't know if Piccoli's still fighting Ajogba or not. But listen, this was meant to be for the IBF championship. Parker is still technically the WBO interim heavyweight champion. I hope that they put the WBO interim title on the line on Saturday so that that way you're still getting world title stakes. We're still technically getting a world title fight. Parker will retain his WBO mandatory position. And even if he doesn't, Piccoli will take it from him. So I think that makes the most sense. I hope that the WBO will be on board with doing that. There's a chance IBF may even say, okay, we're going to make this for the interim, which would be kind of crazy because Ajogba signed on to do an eliminator. This is crazy. It's like, this is nothing like this has ever happened before, but I'm so excited. Stay tuned for my prediction on both of those fights and the whole card later on. Let's talk about Dana White and UFC 314 and 315, because my goodness. So I know that the biggest story coming out of this UFC news is that Ilia Topuria has vacated the featherweight title. And we will talk about that, but I just first of all want to talk about the positives. I mean, Ilia moving up may be a positive, but the immediate positives, which is how good this Miami card is going to be April 12th. So main event, fighting for the vacant titles, Alexander Volkanovski and Diego Lopez. Listen, these are literally the top two guys in the division outside of Ilia, in my opinion. You know, I mean, we knew that Volk was likely to get the title shot rematch. He isn't getting a rematch, but he still gets the title shot. And Lopez has been that contender, you know, outside of Volk and Max, you know, fought for a lot of times. He's been that guy who hasn't gotten his title shot yet, who had an incredible 2024 and just felt like he was there. He was waiting. He was ready. And I remember that this just happened recently because the plan was to do Ilia and Volk, and then Diego was supposed to fight in Mexico on March 29th, I believe. So they just pulled this together, and we'll talk a little bit more about why. But just based off this, I think it's a really good fight. I think that Ilia was number one in the division. As of right now, you'd have to put Volk and Diego at number two and three. So, no complaints. Good fight. Excited to see it go down. Co-main event, Michael Chandler, Paddy Pimblett. That's a very good fight as well. Kind of worried about Michael Chandler in that one. You know, he lost the fight with Charles Oliveira, which was expected. This one, you know, this is going to be a really tough fight for Paddy. This is really going to fraud check him. He's looked pretty good up until here, outside of the one fight that he, got a little bit of a gift decision in. But, you know, this is really going to be a big test because Michael Chandler's been there. He's been to the top. And Paddy hasn't yet. And Paddy's on his way up. But if Paddy gets a win here, he is real deal. He's number 12 ranked right now. Chandler's number 7. You know, I like this. I'm really excited for this fight. I think it's going to be really fun. And just like imagine the possibilities of how this can play out. It's just like a crazy matchup I wouldn't have thought of. I know this got reported a while ago, but it's really interesting. Also in the card, we have Yair Rodriguez versus Patricio Pitbull in his UFC debut. He was the, you know, one with PFL and Bellator where he had a public, like, you know, I hate how the way they managed Bellator, and PFL just straight up dropped him. Just dropped him. So it's nuts. But anyways, he just signed with the UFC. It was reported this week. It's official now. He's fighting Yair Rodriguez. Great fight. Really excited to see his debut. I mean, all of the big names at Bellator and PFL, I feel like they've kind of started to come over to the UFC. I think Dakota Dicheva may be coming over to the UFC as well. So we'll see, man. But again, another great fight. Another great fight. Jeff Neal, Carlos Brates at 170. Dude, they just keep on coming. Nikita Krylov versus Dominic Reyes at light heavyweight. Now, I don't know if that means that they're going to open up the main card. It says bout order subject to change, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's your main card right there. Brilliant card. You've also got Dan Ige, Sean Woodson, Yan Xianon, and Verna Jandiroba, which is I believe, the number one contender fight, a title eliminator, because Yan is number one and Jandiroba is number three. So I think that means it's a title eliminator, and whoever wins that is going to be in with Zhang Weili if she doesn't move up. Otherwise, the winner of this will probably fight for the vacant belt. We also got Jim Miller versus Chase Hooper as well. And then some other fights on the card as well. But, I mean, man, just what a fight card. It is absolutely stacked. I can't wait. It's loaded. It's a really good card. That's going to be the same day, by the way, as the, Boots Stanionis fight. So, definitely going to be a big day. Going to be a big night of fights. I have those two on the same time. But, yeah, I'm just really, really proud of, you know, the Diego and Volk fight. I really like that one. And the UFC should be proud of themselves. I like that one a lot. Then we've got Bilal Muhammad versus Jack De La Maddalena. So the plan was supposed to do Bilal Shavkat May 10th, 3:15 in Montreal. But Shavkat was injured, and this sucks because he was supposed to get the title shot against Bilal in December. Bilal gets injured. Then they're supposed to fight in May. Shavkat gets injured. Now it's Bilal versus Jack De La Maddalena. They said the winner of this will fight Shavkat. Absolutely. So JDM gets pulled from the Leon Edwards fight. They bring in literally the next best guy in Sean Brady in terms of ranking. So, again, no complaints. That's still a good fight. And, I mean, I don't hate Bilal versus JDM. I think it's a pretty even fight. If I'm going to be honest, I know people are going to be mad at this, but I think Bilal will win. Not that people don't expect Bilal to win, but people don't want Bilal to win. I don't really know. I just want to see Shavkat fight for the belt, but I like JDM. I also kind of like Bilal a lot more than a lot of other people do. I thought that his win over Leon was not boring. So we'll see, but I just kind of feel like Bilal will win this. And then in the co-main event, it will be Valentina Shevchenko versus Manon Fiorot. Again, good fight. Fiorot is the number two challenger in the division. Obviously, number one remains Alexa Grasso. I don't know if we're going to see four fights with them. I'm guessing that after this Shevchenko and Fiorot fight, we can get Shevchenko versus Zhang Weili. Please, that is the fight. As for Ilya Topuria, so he's moved up from 145. And when he said he was going to move it to lightweight, I was like, he's bluffing. He means one day. He means once he's conquered his legacy, you know, and not like that he's bluffing, but I was just like, yeah, he's saying he's going to do this, but he's not really. They're not going to let him. He's doing it. He only had two title fight wins at 145. I thought he was going to rematch Volk, fight Diego, fight Movsar. That's your legacy. Good legacy. You know, go stay undefeated in the weight class, then you move up. But he's, I think that Ilya's playing it both smart and dumb at the same time. He's playing it dumb in that he's not getting a good legacy. Not a good legacy, but he's not trying to take his time. He's trying to rush his legacy with, I'm going to become double champ immediately, go up to Islam, and I'm going to beat Islam. You know, I'm in my prime right now. I feel the best right now. I'm popular right now. This is the time. This will be a super fight right now. Islam won't be here in 2 years. So I understand that aspect of it. But on the other hand, I kind of feel like, I don't know, I just think it's a little bit too early. But am I going to tell you that I have no interest in Islam versus Ilya? Absolutely not. That is a tremendous fight. That's probably the biggest and best fight UFC can do outside of John Jones, Tom Aspinall. It may be bigger. And, of course, anything Conor McGregor does. But Islam Makhachev versus Ilya Topuria is a banger of a fight. It's huge. You know, they're saying that it could be happening as early as, like, June or July, which I wouldn't be surprised. So I would really like to see that happen now. Now that we know that Ilya is moving up to 155, he's not going to risk a number one contender fight with someone like Oliveira or Armin or something like that. He's got to go straight into the title fight. You know, let's just do it next. I would rather him stay at 145, but if he's not going to stay at 145, because he also said he can't make the weight anymore, that's a good reason. Go to 155, get it done. You know, massive fight for the UFC to make. All right, some other cards. First of all, before we talk about other cards this weekend, let's talk about the card last night. There was a ProBox TV card, Gabriel Flores Jr. versus Jose Arellano. They fought in a pretty good fight, really a good fight, actually. Flores got the unanimous decision win. Terrible scoring. I had a 95-93, which one of the judges had as well. But this was a 94-94 or 95-93 fight either way. Arellano was dropped twice in the fight, in both the first and final rounds. The judges scored at 95-93, like I said. And then 98-90 and 99-89, they only gave Arellano one round, one of them. And this is following the co-main event where Cesar Francis and Emiliano Morano were in not a great fight, but a very competitive fight, one that I had Francis winning. In fact, two of the judges did as well. And he was horribly stopped by Emiliano Morano in the seventh round. And when I say horribly stopped, I don't mean it was like horrific to watch, like it was a bad knockout. It was terrible from the ref. Francis got hit with the shot. It affected him. He kind of stepped funny, backed up a little bit. Yeah, the shot hurt him. It definitely hurt him. But he himself wasn't shook. As soon, like, 1 second he's hurt, the ref steps in and stops the fight. He was fine. He was going to go all 10 rounds. He was not going to go down at all. He immediately recovered. It was one shot. And the ref stepped in. There needs to be an investigation. That is probably the worst stoppage I've ever seen. And, I mean, the ref knows what he did, too. And then they brought that ref set back on for the next fight to judge it. And I guarantee you, he was not the 95-93 scorecard. Just what incompetence. Very, very annoying. Anthony Kuba, who lost to Carmel Moten last year, took the O off of DeMichael Harris. Very good performance from him. Totally dominated him. Really good fight there. They had a post-limb, I guess you could say, after the main event with Antonio Morales, who I think is like 6'8", 6'9". Versus Jose Vargas, and that was a really hard to watch. Vargas was just nonstop clinching for all 8 rounds. So, and also, my issue with this fight is that they started at 6 p.m., but it was in California. So that's 9 p.m. here. It didn't end until 1 a.m. The reason why a lot of fight cards start at 5 p.m. on the West Coast is so that it's not that late on the East Coast. I know that UFC does it later as well, but that's UFC's problem. I would rather Pro Box in the future to stick by, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern universally. Yeah, I feel like they start 6 p.m. no matter where they are. But I like the idea of trying to keep it. You know, if you're in the West Coast, it's still 5 p.m. If you're in the East Coast, it's still 8 p.m. You know, whatever. But, you know, decent enough card. This weekend, we've got a few fight cards. So, supposedly, tomorrow, we're going to get a Conlon show headlined by Khalil Majid and some other okay fights on the card. That'll be supposed to be in Bolton. And it's supposed to be on ProBox TV, but I haven't seen really anything, like any promotion at all, actually. I'm looking at Conlon's page right now. They posted Fight Week on 3 days ago. No post since then. No way and no nothing. I go to ProBox TV's YouTube channel. They haven't been posted anywhere. I don't know if this fight card is still happening, y'all. We haven't heard anything, at least not from anybody official like Conlon. I haven't done my research here too much, but from the looks of it, it kind of feels like we may not be getting this fight card this weekend. I don't know, but nothing from Khalil Majid. I don't see no post at least. There hasn't really been anything from the Conlon brothers, but this is just so odd how it doesn't look like the fight's happening, and there was no official word, so. Really interested to see what happens tomorrow, if we get this fight card or not, but I don't think we're getting it. Really odd stuff. The fight just gets upped and disappeared. Anyways, also tomorrow we'll have a 360 boxing promotion show from California, headlined by Cain Sandoval, so pretty good fighter. What division is he again? Is he at 140, or am I crazy? He's at 135, but he's in with Mark Bernaldez. Should be a decent card, I think. You've got co-main event, looks like it'll be Daniel Barrera and Christopher Rios. I'm not sure if he still is. You know, Alan Garcia will be returning. It seems like he was dropped by Top Rank after his knockout loss. What's his name? Yuritsian is returning. And he's in with Luis Hernandez. So there seems like that'll be some pretty good fights tomorrow. That will be on UFC Fight Pass Friday night. And then also on Saturday, we're going to be getting Luis Neri returning to the ring in Mexico against, I think his name is Kayonsuke, or I can't remember his name, but Kameda. You know, they fight in Mexico City on ESPN Knockout. I'll see if I'm able to watch that one. May not be able to, but, you know, looks like it'll be a good fight. You've got Frank Sanchez returning in a sixth rounder on that card, which just makes no sense. He's in with a guy who's like 18 and 24. But anyways, it'll be good to see Luis Neri back out in action. I think he's still one of the top guys at 122 pounds. And again, Inoue is going to move up within the year. And when that happens, we're going to have four vacant belts and lots of very good title fights to be had. And Luis Neri is, again, one of those eight guys that's going to be involved in a title fight, no matter what sanction it is, probably. The biggest card outside of The Last Crescendo is UFC Seattle, headlined by Henry Cejudo and Yong Sedong. That's a really good fight, I think. You know, I'm excited to see it personally. As for who wins, you know, I know that they're promoting Cejudo. And I really do. I like Henry Cejudo. But I think that Song Yadong will take this fight. Co-main event, but it could be, I don't know. But that's in Seattle. Brendan Allen versus Anthony Hernandez in the co-main event. That's a really good fight at middleweight. You know, I'm excited to see that one go down. You got Rob Font. He's still fighting, even though Dominic Cruz prematurely retired. He's in with Gene Matsumoto. Also on the main card, Gene Silva versus Melsik Bogdasarian and Alonzo Menifield versus Julius Walker. And then you have seven prelims. So a 12-fight card in total. Should be pretty good. I think it's 6 p.m. prelims on the East Coast and 9 p.m. Main card. You know, very excited for that. Yeah, so we don't have a huge weekend. We've got some good fights outside of the big Saudi card, but that's really the focus. UFC Seattle will be good. Luis Neri's fighting. But other than that, huge, huge card in Saudi Arabia. We also have the Junto Nakatani card on Monday, which I keep on forgetting. That's a brilliant card. Junto Nakatani, David Cuellar. Then you've got Seiya Tsutsumi and Daigo Higa. Those are both bantamweight championships, as well as Tenshin Nasukawa versus Andrew Maloney. Or is it Jason Maloney? I think it's actually Jason Maloney. But regardless, all three, brilliant fights. Brilliant, brilliant fights. I mean, I think that you favor the Japanese. Well, I guess Higa's also Japanese, but you favor Nakatani and Tsutsumi to retain their championships, but they're in really good fights. And I think that Nasukawa will win, but that's a very, very big step up with him, with Maloney. I mean, that's world level. So really good card there, but we're going to talk more about that on Sunday's episode because that'll be on Monday. All right, let's talk about a few news headlines before we move into the big last crescendo breakdown. All right, let's get into it. I'll try and move pretty quick. Shakur is considering legal action over the poisoning claims, as he should. Apparently, Schofield's team has been saying a lot of weird stuff, you know, not just about this, but their reasoning. I didn't hear this, but this is what Eddie Hearn said, but their reasoning why they weren't at the press conference in London was that Shakur broke into Floyd Schofield's apartment or house or whatever and stole his passport and ripped out one of the pages needed. I mean, just ridiculous stuff. So I don't know what's going on there. I understand that they're upset they got sick during fight week, but he didn't poison him. There is still no conversation being had on AJ's next fight. This is getting weird, okay? We heard, okay, yeah, once it'll be... Because also, every reporter only asks Eddie Hearn, when's AJ fighting, which is annoying. But, you know, after the knockout loss, we heard it'll be until after December. It'll be after December 21st when we decide. And then it's like, okay, cool. I'm okay with that. That makes sense. Take your time off. They get to December 21st. They're like, okay, yeah, we want to talk to Fury. And it's like, all right, bet, we're going to start talks. Then Fury retires a few weeks later because it's like, all right, well, let's give Fury his time to decide what he wants to do. He decides to retire. All right, wait. Let's wait until February 22nd and then see what happens with Dubois and Parker. I'm like, you're not getting the winner of that. You can get the loser maybe, but you do not deserve the winner. The winner goes to Usyk. That fight's not happening anymore. I think that the Zhang Caballel winner makes sense. Parker Bacoli winner makes more sense than Dubois Parker winner. You know, we'll see, but... Yeah, I hope that they start conversation soon. You know, there's going to be a lot of business had over the next week in Saudi, and I assume that we're going to AJ will have a conversation with His Excellency and Eddie Hearn in the days following Saturday. He's also going to be on the broadcast team on Saturday, which, again, is surprising just because he's not super, you know, he's not super vocal. He's cool. He's very nonchalant, but he's not like this, you know, out there pundit with all this, you know, exciting camera time, like Tyson Fury, for example, who's not a pundit, but he's exciting. AJ is very laid back, and I don't think that he necessarily wants to be doing that, so whatever. Lee Wood apparently is signed with Queensberry. Now, I may be stupid and not realizing that, but, you know, they said it was like some post that it was Frank Warren greeting him. They said, like, oh, Frank Warren talking to his newest world-class signing, and I'm like, so he has signed Lee Wood, not just like a one-fight deal for the Kikache, but like he's actually with him, which is, again, crazy. Frank is totally taking over the UK, like completely. Before I used to say, oh, I don't know, it's like, you know, they're both there, but no, Frank's UK schedule and his fighters are way better overall. Patricio Pitbull sides with the UFC, we see that. Parker is going to be his career heaviest. He's looking to come in at like 260 or maybe even a little bit more, which before I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Against Piccoli, you're going to need that. He's going to be 40 pounds heavier than you. That guy is 300-plus pounds, so yeah, good. Speaking of Piccoli, Jared Anderson said he wants the Piccoli rematch. No. You do not get that after the terrible performance you had in your comeback against Marios Colas, a guy you should have knocked out in one or two rounds. You went 10 rounds with him. You showed no urgency, no aggression, no excitement. You weren't interested, completely disinterested. On what grounds do you think that you deserve to call out Martin Bacoli, who was the boogeyman who destroyed you? Actually, to be fair, Jared Anderson fought pretty well in that fight, I thought. After, you know, being hurt and stuff, he held his ground for five rounds and he made it exciting, but he wasn't winning any of it. So I don't understand. Obviously, I know that he wants the Bacoli rematch. There's no way that he gets that next, especially after his last performance. He needs to spend a lot of time thinking about how to improve before he can do something like that. Shakur and Keyshawn. This was really interesting. So Shakur was asked about it, and he said that he was, like, kind of open to it, something like that. He was like, I mean, you know, like, if he wants to put the belts on the line, if they send an offer, like, I'm not going to turn it down, something like that. And then Keyshawn responded and said, send the offer then. And I'm like, hold on, y'all are best friends. Are you guys, like, actually beefing right now? Is this a joke? And then, like, the next day, Shakur gets asked, and he's like, no, I don't really do that. Keyshawn's my brother. Like, I don't think that we need to fight. There's no need to do it. And I'm like, okay, what just happened? So I don't think that we're getting Shakur, Keyshawn. I mean, if they're going to fight, I won't complain because it's a brilliant fight. They're in the same division, and I want to see the top fighters fight each other. But I also won't be mad if they decide not to because they're best friends. Ciryl Gane and Tom Aspinall – Okay, we know this isn't true anymore, but apparently we heard a few days ago, and I don't know if this is true at all, but it was a possibility for UFC 315, and that would be for the lineal real heavyweight title, meaning taking it away from Jon Jones. And before I would have been like, you know, if Jon Jones really is giving in to demands, that makes sense. And I mean, I really hope that we figure out what's going on with him. You know, how much did the UFC have to pay him? Because I know that the UFC doesn't pay very well, but for Jon Jones, I bet that they pay him plenty. I mean, this is like an unbelievable duck from him. But, you know, I wouldn't mind Aspinall Gane, but I need Jones Aspinall. I need it. Tank is open to the Devin Haney fight. Let's do it. No waiting around. Let's do it. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Tank has said this before, actually. He said, like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. But then when the actually time to discussions, there's always a story. But Tank never fights these guys, and these other guys fight each other, too. So I don't know what's going on there. But he said that he has three fights. He wants to fight three more times. So that's Lamont Roach next Saturday. Probably once more in 2025 and then once in 2026, I'd assume. Make him big fights, dude. Make him Shakur, make him Haney. Those are probably his two biggest rivals, I would say. I need those fights. I need Tank and Shakur, like, so bad. And I need Haney, too. It's just that Haney's moved up now two divisions from 135. So there's not as much urgent demand, but Tank and Shakur, the same division. I mean, it's crazy how we have these two fighters that are this good. And it's one of those divisions where it's like, who is number one? I don't really know. Usually there's like a definitive, you know, it's whatever. And it's a big division, too. Two huge, huge stars. Like Beterbiev and Bivol, huge stars. Who's the top of the division? Let's fight. Fury Usyk, let's fight. Shakur Tank need to fight. Clarissa Shields, investigated by the WBO for marijuana. She is suspended in Michigan. So, personally, I really don't care that much. I mean, if she's smoking weed, yeah, she shouldn't be. And, you know, you're not supposed to be on drugs when fighting, whatever. But I also don't think that weed necessarily helps you. It's definitely not a performance-enhancing drug. If anything, it's just going to make her worse. I saw somebody respond and say, you know, oh, wow, she beat Perkins that good while high. That's crazy. You know, that makes it even more impressive. So, I mean, I don't think that it's like, oh, we need to ban her for a year. No, she didn't take Ostarine or any steroids. She was smoking weed. It's different. However, yeah, if you want to incur consequences so that these athletes are not using drugs at all because they shouldn't be, then yeah. KSI Dylan Danis press conference is set for March 4th. That'll be next Tuesday, not this coming week, but the week after. You know, I'm excited for that because I think it's going to be utter chaos. But, you know, I also, part of me is like, I don't know. I just want this fight. I just want to get to this fight and just watch KSI hopefully knock him out because I really can't stand Dylan Danis. On that card, by the way, the whole card announcement is supposed to be on Sunday. So that's cool. I will not be on Sunday. I'm telling you right now. If I know one thing about Misfits, they always delay their announcements and say, oh, it's coming soon. And then it's, you know, a week. We're going to find out who's fighting 4 days before the fight, I swear. But one fight they did confirm today was Fox the G versus Waleed Sharks. And I know that, you know, this is YouTube boxing, but Fox the G delivered one of the knockouts of the year, pro boxing or not. It was tremendous in January of 2024. And Waleed Sharks is very good. He fought Dean the Great twice, you know, very, very close fight. He's a really good fighter, fought in Golden Gloves and stuff. Fox has got insane skinny power. That is a really, really good fight for the Misfit scene. I'm excited for that one. UFC Iowa apparently is going to be on May 3rd. Didn't know that. Main event is going to be, it looks like it'll be Corey Sandhagen, Davison Figueiredo. Fantastic fight at bantamweight. Fantastic fight. These guys both just lost to Umar and Yan, respectively. I know that the UFC kind of wants to do Merab versus Sean, too. I don't know if I love that. I would like to see Sean versus Petr Yan, too. And then the losers, you know, I mean, these guys fight, and then, you know, they'll get to fight. I don't know who they fight, but they'll probably be next in line for the title, I think. Maybe they fight Umar again or Jan. I'm not sure. Sean even. I don't know. 135, the whole title picture, it's really confusing as to who will fight who, but I do really like this fight. And then the last thing we'll talk about before the big preview, the WBC, after the press conference, announced their Grand Prix. So we knew this was happening, but it was like officially announced. And I'll just read out what they're saying this will be. So this is going to be a tournament. with across four weight categories. So that includes featherweight 126, super lightweight 140, middleweight 160, and heavyweight. There will be 32 participants in each division, so 128 fighters overall. They're going to fight in the tournament. There will be 41 participating countries, so that's pretty cool. Five events, all held in Saudi Arabia, all held in different cities in Saudi Arabia. So this is interesting because His Excellency we know is Riyadh season, which is just one city there. I think it's the capital. We've got a lot of other cities there, like Jeddah, I know, and then I'm sure some other ones. I don't really know too many, but yeah. So five different events. There'll be on DAZN, which is good. I was worried. I'm like, hey, hopefully there'll be a broadcaster. It'll be on DAZN. There will be no draws. Decisive results in every bout. Okay, that doesn't make any sense, really. If they're saying, oh, we need to have a winner, if the fight ends up being a draw, you can do a sudden death round. Overtime boxing does that. BKFC does that. Y'all should do it too. I think that should be, honestly, I wouldn't be mad if that's a rule in every combat sport because I really like the draw. Overtime, sudden death round. Open scoring. This is something that the WBC does do in different territories. Like in Japan, they allow it. So after every 4, 8, and then, of course, 12 rounds, you find out who's up on the scorecards. Here it'll be 2, 4, and 6. It'll be 6-round fights in round 1 and then 8-round fights for the final. And I believe if there's 32 fighters, I think that means that it'll be – I think five rounds, because you'll have 16 fights round 1, 8 fights round 2, 4 fights round 3, 2 fights round 4, and then one fight round 5. Yeah, so it'll be 5 events. Oh my goodness. I'm just now realizing how long these events are going to be. You're going to do 5 events with 128 fighters. That's 16 fights per division. So are you telling me that event 1, and they could break this up differently, but event 1 is going to have 64 fights on it? That doesn't make any sense. There's no way. So we'll see. And then they'll also have instant replay, which, is whatever. It does help, but it's not that, interesting or exciting. I am so excited for this now. Everyone has to be, I think it's, under 10-0 or, under, 11, 10 fights, I think. You can't be, super far up there. We know that BKFC is going to do a big tournament this year as well. I'm really excited to see how this goes. This is actually something that I think is cool that the WBC is doing to collaborate with Riyadh season. When Suleiman took the stage, I tweeted, I was like, oh boy, here we go. He's going to present the stupid wolf versus the bull belt that they made. I'm like, I can't stand this. But then he had actually a cool thing that he's talking about. So, I'm excited to see this go down. First event will be in April, they said. I assume that we'll get them every 1 to 2 to 3 months after that. I hope it doesn't fall apart, because usually a lot of ambitious ideas and plans like this kind of fall apart. And when you've got that many fighters relying on them to fight so many times a year, it can fall apart. So hope for the best. Okay. Now it is time to talk about The Last Crescendo. First off, we've got two prelims, Ziad Al-Mayouf and Muhammad Alakel. Muhammad Alakel, I think, is very good. I think he's very, very good. I think that he genuinely is a really good prospect. He's only had 2 fights, but really good performance in both of them. I think did he have a stoppage the second fight? I don't think that maybe he didn't, but he came close. He looked very good in his first 2 fights. I'm excited to see him fight again. I expect he'll get a stoppage this time, or at least hope so. Then you've got Al-Mayouf, and Zizo, I really like him. I really like him. I think that every time I see him in any interview or something or talking to everyone else, he's a very nice, very exciting, humble, just a really good, down-to-earth, respectful guy. He seems like a really, really awesome fighter and somebody who could be a great ambassador for Saudi boxing. He has these awesome speeches he does at the press conference about wanting to be a flag bearer for his country. I think it's great. The issue is that he isn't that good of a boxer. He's not going to be world champion. His last 2 fights have been draws. And they're not good draws. The draws he probably lost. The first one that was a draw actually got turned over to a win for him because his opponent was on PEDs. But listen, he's in with a very familiar journeyman on the British circuit. So I really, really am hoping that he's able to get a win, because he needs it. Because 2 draws in a row, people are going to start to put 2 and 2 together and say, he ain't that good. And he will get beat. He will get beat soon because, you can't be going into having these kinds of performances in there with guys with, 4 wins and 35 losses. It's just not good. So, but yeah, they'll both be opening up the card. Excited because I do like both their personalities, but I'm hoping Zizo wins, but he needs to show me more. First fight of the night. Joshua Buatsi, Colin Smith. How is this the first fight of the night, y'all? Like, it's actually nuts. I know everybody keeps on talking about, like, the fight card starts with Joshua Buatsi, Colin Smith. That's so crazy. And it is. It genuinely is. Like, I'm saying, like, this would sell out any arena in the UK. I mean, it's a brilliant fight. It is a brilliant fight at 175 pounds for the WBO Interim Championship. So, Buatsi is 19-0. Colin Smith is 30-2. Those losses only come to Canelo Alvarez and Artur Beterbiev, so he's an elite company. As for who I think wins, so this one will be interesting. I know that Callum Smith is actually having a lot more support than I was expecting him to. Now, I know that Callum Smith is very good, and like I said, he's only lost to a few very good guys, but if you look at who he's fought since Canelo, hasn't been that very good opposition outside of Beterbiev, who, you know, destroyed him. So, I don't know. Excuse me. I'm kind of worried about what Smith can really do in there, because he needs to show me something. However, when we have a guy like Buatsi, who's been fighting for this opportunity for so long, he's had so many fights where he's on the brink of getting a world title, and now here he is, maybe the last one before the world title, and he's in with Callum Smith, his toughest fight yet, but, you know, somebody's being overlooked, who's past his prime, and then Callum Smith puts on a great performance. I don't know, but the way that I see Buatsi, I really do see him as the top of the 175 division outside of the Davids and the Russians, which are Beterbiev and Bivol and Benavidez and Morel. I think that nobody else from that lower, those four are competitive with each other, and then nobody will be competitive with them. So I think that Buatsi is number five in the division. And then Callum Smith is number six, probably. So I think this is a really good fight, but I am going to say that Buatsi wins probably by decision. But I wouldn't be surprised if Smith wins. But as of right now, I have to say it's hard to not put Buatsi as a favorite. He's just looked really good recently. So yeah, I put Buatsi winning this fight probably by decision. Second fight. Zhile Zhang versus Ajit Kabayel. Zhang is one of my favorite fighters. He is so funny. When I say favorite fighters, he's really fun to watch just because of his knockouts, but he's also just hilarious. This week, he'd been saying, "I bang you, no diddy." And people are telling him to call people wankers and stuff. Like, it's just so funny. It's so fun. But this is a really good heavyweight fight. You know, I think that these guys are probably like 6-7, 5-6 in the division. Zhang is 27-2-1. Only losses to Filip Hrgović and Joseph Parker. Ajit Kabayel is 25-0. And it feels like Kabayel's been waiting for a shot for a while, you know? I mean, he's gotten some pretty good wins, but he's been the underdog his last few fights. Underdog against Makhmudov stops him. Underdog against Frank Sanchez stops him. Now he's in with Zhang. And as much as I love Big Bang Zhang, I think that Kabayel is going to win this one. They fight for the WBC interim title. And at first I was saying, it's very 50-50. And at first I was saying, oh no, Zhang's going to win. I love Zhang. But I simply can't overlook Kabayel anymore. His last two fights I picked against him and I was wrong. So I have to say, I have to pick Kabayel this time. And I think that Zhang has the potential to hurt him. Because, again, Zhang could be the hardest hitting heavyweight. He's up there. He's up there with Bacoli, Dubois, Wilder, maybe AJ. But Zhang contends with any of them. We saw him in Wilder. I mean, I know that Wilder's got a chin and Wilder didn't hit him with anything. But that was a firefight and Zhang came out on top easily. But the thing with Zhang also is that he's very big and he can't go that far. He'll tire. And I think that judging off his last performance it wasn't his last performance. He fought Wilder in between that. I forgot that, the order of those fights. But his performance with Parker, he dropped Parker twice because he just has that equalizer. But outside of that, he was so tired and he barely won a round, I thought. Not barely won a round, actually. I can't remember how I scored it. But there were so many rounds where he could have won, but he didn't because he just wasn't doing enough. And Kabayel is a very smart fighter, I feel, where he'll go in there and he'll take the tough fights, the tough punches for the first 4 to 6 rounds. But then Zhang is going to be done and Kabayel isn't going to be. So I think Kabayel will win. It's a heavyweight fight. I think it'll be a stoppage. I'll say Kabayel late stoppage. If not, I'll say Kabayel decision. I can't remember. Has Zhang ever been stopped? I can't remember if, did he, no, no, yeah, he is not. He didn't get stopped by Hrgović or Parker. I don't know. Maybe, no, I'm going to say Caballel, late stoppage or decision. Who cares? I don't have to say something definite. But I think that Caballel will win this. And if he doesn't, it's going to be Zhang early. Zhang first few rounds. But I think Caballel will win. Third fight of the night we'll be getting is probably the fight of the night, which is what everyone's been saying, I know. But just the more I think about this fight, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Virgil Ortiz Jr. is 22-0 with 21 knockouts and Israel Madrimov. This has been one of those fights, one of the fights on the card where it's just the hardest to choose. And it's like, oh, man, I really don't know. They're all hard to choose, like particularly this one. And I think that Ortiz looked really good at 154 for his first two fights where he blew out those other guys in one round. And then Boachuk, he looked good, but he didn't look awesome. He was dropped twice. Not big knockdowns, but regardless, he was dropped. And I thought Boachuk looked really good as well. Do I think the Ortiz won? Yeah, maybe. It was either that or a draw. So I'm not mad at Ortiz winning the fight. But Madrimov looked really good against Crawford. I mean, he could have gotten himself a draw or even beaten Terrence Crawford. I don't think he did. I had Crawford winning 7-5. But, I mean, he looked sensational. And we know Crawford is levels above everyone. Madrimov even those levels that night in August. So I'm picking Madrimov, I think. I'm picking Madrimov by decision. I think it'll be a brilliant fight. It's so competitive. They're both, you know, I think it was Ade Oladipo who said, you know, you've got the puncher in Ortiz, puncher versus the boxer, but the puncher can box and the boxer can punch. And I love that. It is going to be an absolute war. I mean, I could be wrong. I could see Ortiz could win, but I don't know. I see that Ortiz is a little bit more the mainstream here. And Madrimov's got a huge support system, by the way. All the comments I see in every post is just all Madrimov support. But, you know, I think that Madrimov really announced himself on the world scene when he fought Terrence Crawford. And I think that Virgil had a lot of holes in the Boachuk fight. And I think Madrimov can capitalize on that. So I'm going to pick Madrimov by decision, I think. First of the real world title fights, Carlos Adames versus Hamza Shiraz versus for the WBC World Middleweight Championship. Again, what a fantastic fight. I think there's probably 2 and 3 in the division. I think that Janibek's number one, you have to say. Hamza number two and Carlos Adames number three. Listen, this is a very close fight, another one. But I am sticking with my guy Hamza Shiraz. I love him so much. He's one of my favorite fighters. He's so fun to watch. His range is unbelievable. He's 6'4", I think, for a middleweight. It's crazy. But he's in with Adames, who's 24-1. Now listen, Adames is by far Hamza's toughest test. He's a big puncher. He's way more experienced. He's been to the world level. I mean, Hamza has never fought anyone near this level at all in his career. He's 21-0 with 17 knockouts. It's going to be a brilliant fight. It's going to be a brilliant firefight. But I don't know. Everything's been geared towards Hamza Shiraz. And usually when that happens, a lot of the times they succeed. We saw it last week with Keyshawn Davis and Dennis Baranchuk, where I was saying, oh, I don't know. You know, I think Keyshawn will win, but it'll be tough. And Keyshawn destroyed him. Now, I think this will still be tough. I'm not going to say it won't be. But I think Hamza wins the stoppage late in the fight. I really do. I think that he's that good. I think that he is. I definitely think he's going to be a world champion. And I think it's going to happen in 2 days' time. Third fight on the card. The first one, first of the two that have been changed. Shakur Stevenson, Josh Padley. I'm still surprised this is for the title. But 22-0 versus 15-0. Shakur Stevenson is going to dominate him. He will not win a single round. Padley will not win a single round of a second of a minute of a tire round. It'll be a blowout. Do I think he stops him is the only question. And it's hard to say because Shakur's hands, as we all know, he just had surgery on them. And, you know, he's not a huge puncher. He has 10 knockouts in 22 fights, 22 victories, which I think a lot of people forget. And, you know, just a year and a half ago in his debut at lightweight, he stopped Shuichiro Yoshino in 6 rounds. So I think that he definitely has the potential to stop people, but with these hands now, I don't know how easy it's going to be. And if he's going to be against anyone, it's going to be against a competition like Padley. So I think Shakur will win. It's either going to be decision or it's going to be early stoppage. I think it may be an early stoppage. I'm going to call something crazy. I'm going to say early stoppage, and if not, it'll be a decision. But I just kind of see it, you know, they bring in Padley and Shakur just shocks the world. And yeah, it's not against the best opposition, but just does him away easily. And I don't know. I'm going to say Shakur Stevenson wins again, it's kind of a weird two options here, but either by unanimous decision, 121-108 across the board, or by early stoppage, where it's just like, wow, he just did that. Like, is this a new Shakur? You know, we'll see. But I definitely think Shakur will win. This is the only fight on the card that it's not hard to tell at all. All right, now it is time for the co-main event. It was meant to be Daniel Dubois, Joseph Parker. It's unfortunately not, but it's okay because it's still a fantastic heavyweight clash. Joseph Parker, Martin Bacoli. Who do I think wins? I am picking... I'm going to go Joseph Parker. I've really rocked with Joseph Parker. Actually, wait, I'm deleting this whole section. Y'all, I'm just now realizing that this may be the hardest fight to pick on this card, after all. I mean, I just haven't really thought about it because it was just announced a few hours ago. But you've got Joseph Parker, who has been in tremendous form recently, dominated Deontay Wilder, outboxed Xiao Lei Zhang, underdog in both fights. And, you know, he's an underdog in Dubois fight, and I was probably going to pick Dubois, if I'm being honest, but, you know, very unsure. I am, like, very confident that I'm not confident. I don't know. Because Martin McCauley's been the boogeyman. He's looked so destructive. But who has he beaten at real world level recently? Jared Anderson. That's it. You can even argue, is Jared Anderson even at world level? Not right now, he's not. So, I don't know. I'm going to pick Joseph Parker. Even though it would be an incredible story for Parker to be this boogeyman, he finally gets the opportunity and delivers in a few rounds in the knockout. I see that happening. I really do. But I also see Parker just kind of saying, yeah, well, we knew that was going to happen because Bacoli came in on a few days' notice. You know, I think it's going to be something like that. So, I'll pick Joseph Parker. I'm going to pick Joseph Parker by late stoppage or decision. And this feels so weird picking against Bacoli. Because, again, like I've said for so long, like how much I think he's such a threat and how excited I was to see him fight again. And now it's happening in 2 days, and I think he's going to lose. But I really am not sure. This is the one I'm going 51-49 on Joe Parker just because of his form recently and just because he's the guy that's been prepping for a fight on this date. But, you know, I really could be wrong, and Bacoli could – just do his thing and be like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. So as of right now, though, I'm going to pick Joseph Parker. Then let's get to the main event because I really do not know yet again who is going to win this. I mean, listen, we already had a fight with these guys. Going into the fight, didn't know who was going to win. I picked Bivol, and I was actually starting to get confident Bivol would win. After the fight, it was one of the only fights where didn't know who was going to win before, didn't really have much of a pick. After the fight, I had less of a pick as to who is better between these guys. They are so evenly matched. Honestly, the first fight was good, but it wasn't incredible. I think we're going to get a better fight this time. I think both guys are going to be more exciting and both more go after it. And it's weird because I feel like Beterbiev is the guy that fought worse that night. He was just able to make up for it in the later rounds and was able to get the judges' scorecards because he's the come-forward fighter. Where Bivol, I mean, I'm looking at him and I'm like, Beterbiev has more to improve on this fight, and he won the first fight. So I think we're either going to get Beterbiev stoppage, where he's just going to, you know, like really put it together and be like, wow, like he really, like, man, he really figured it out and he knew it to improve and he did. Or I think we're going to get Bivol is going to correct his mistakes, you know, that I guess he had, and then just do more later on, do more throughout because, you know, we know that he can, and just be able to, you know, do his thing. And a lot of the thing with Bivol is that he was unsure going into that first fight. Am I going to be able to handle the power? Nobody else has. He knows now I can do it. I went the distance with him. Nobody else did that. So I'm going to pick Dmitry Bivol gets the revenge decision and we get a trilogy, and David Benavidez still doesn't get a shot at the Undisputed Championship. I just know that he's got the worst luck and he can't fight Canelo. He's not going to be able to fight the winner of this one. I'm going to say it's either going to be Beterbiev stoppage or Bivol decision. I'm going to pick Bivol decision. Screw it. Let's go. Those are my picks, y'all, for the last crescendo. I have Dmitry Bivol winning the Undisputed Light Heavyweight Championship by decision. I have Joseph Parker beating Martin Bacoli, potentially for the WBO interim title, if that's still happening, by late stoppage decision. But I'm really unsure about that one. It'll go either way. And then that one's on the fence. Shakur Stevenson absolutely dominating Josh Padley or getting a surprising early stoppage. Then you've got Madrimov by decision. I've got Hamza Shiraz by stoppage, late stoppage. I don't think there's going to be any fights really early, except for unless something crazy happens. Then I'll say Cabayel late stoppage or decision. And then I've got Joshua Buatsi by decision. Those are the picks. Lock them in. Actually, don't, because any one of these fights I could be totally wrong on, except for Shakur and Padley. But it is going to be a brilliant card. Honestly, thank you to His Excellency. I know they say it all the time on broadcast, but this time we really mean it. This card is special. I can't wait. This is like the Super Bowl for boxing. I'm just so excited to just sit down and watch a good 7-8 hours of 50-50 pure action fights. I will be there Saturday. Not there, but I'll be at home watching the TV. But I will be on X. Follow me on X. I'm going to be tweeting, live tweeting the whole time. I'm going to score all the fights. I'm going to be doing all this and that. It's going to be an absolute boxing marathon. I know you're going to be watching it with me. Let's do it. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back on Sunday with the breakdown of the biggest fight card ever. And we'll talk about Junto Nakatani. We'll talk about UFC Seattle. And that will be for episode 20. Thank you so much for listening. Peace out. Enjoy the fights this weekend.